Over the past few months, the church has put before us passages from St. Luke's Gospel coming from the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th chapters. And this is the concluding passage of that section. Sometimes those chapters are called the Gospel of the Outcasts. There were stories told such as the story of the 10 lepers or the story of Lazarus at the gate of the rich man or the story of the prodigal son. There was the parable about the woman who lost a coin and who swept to find that coin or the good shepherd who went after the sheep that was lost. There are a whole variety of stories about rescuing the lost, the outcast. And this is the story that caps it all and draws it all together. In the context of all those stories, remember, Jesus is traveling. He's going from the northern part, from Galilee, to Jerusalem. Luke employs that strategy. And it's not a unique strategy for Luke. There are lots of pieces of literature that are about a journey or a pilgrimage. And then the story unfolds during that journey or during that pilgrimage. Well, Jesus reaches now the city of Jericho, which is north of Jerusalem, about 20 miles. This is the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. Jericho is a large city and a very wealthy city. Before the birth of Jesus, Mark Antony gave Jericho to Cleopatra. And Cleopatra then leased it to Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the one who slaughtered the holy innocents. Later on, Augustus Caesar gave it to Herod. And it became the eastern capital of Herod's kingdom. And he built there his winter palace. And not only that, but he built many, many buildings and many venues for entertainment. There was a giant hippodrome built in the city, and there were theaters built by Herod. So this was a very, very large, important city. And Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. Not just a tax collector, but he's in charge of it all. And the scriptures tell us he is an incredibly wealthy man. He's also deeply hated because he is employed by a conquering force. He enforces the taxation that is levied by the Roman Empire. He is regarded as a sinful man. And because of that, he is an outcast. Jesus invites himself into Zacchaeus' house to spend the day. And the people begin to grumble. This man is going into the house of a sinner. Now, this story is not a story about forgiveness. There is no place in this story where Zacchaeus asks for forgiveness or where Zacchaeus seeks the mercy of God. And there is no place in this story where Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "You are forgiven," or "Your faith has made you whole." There is no place in the story where Jesus talks about conversion or about discipleship. This story is not about forgiveness. This is a story about vindication. Zacchaeus doesn't deny that he's a sinner. He's a human being. He has human weakness. There are times when he has obviously chosen to do things that are harmful. He doesn't deny that at all. But what he says to those people is that your stereotype is wrong. Your prejudice is wrong. I may be a tax collector, but I am not an evil person. In fact, I'm a deeply religious person. And so he says, half of everything I own, I give away. I have got a profound care for those who live on the margin. Half of all my wealth, I freely give away. And if I have ever defrauded someone, I not only return what I have taken wrongly, but I return four times that value. So don't call me a sinner. Jesus says, salvation comes to this house. This man is a child of Abraham. Jesus vindicates Zacchaeus. Jesus affirms the goodness of this man. Jesus stands as an ally to Zacchaeus. The people of the city cannot believe that he's not a crook. After all, he is the chief tax collector, and he is an incredibly wealthy man. He has to be a thief. He has to be a crook. And Jesus says, not so. Not so. Don't judge a person by their gender, or by their age, or by their profession, or by the color of their skin, or their place of origin, or the language they speak, or their marital status, or their education, or lack thereof. Don't judge a person by those accidentals of life, Jesus says. You see, what vindicates Zacchaeus is that he practices two virtues in a most exemplary fashion. He is a man of charity. He's a man who remembers that he is his brother's keeper. And he is a man of justice. He believes that everyone is entitled to what they are due. Lots of the stories in the scripture talk about people who are on the lower rungs of the social ladder, and how Jesus says these people are to be taken into consideration and treated with dignity. This story is about a person on the top of the social ladder. And Jesus says this person is to be regarded with dignity. Zacchaeus is the patron saint of successful people, financially successful people. There is a mentality that would say that a person who has achieved great success financially must have in some way cut corners or feathered his own nest. Jesus says that the virtues of those who have done very well for themselves, the virtues are two: a solidarity with those who live on the margin, a life that is rooted in charity, a use of one's wealth in a way that recognizes that I have a relationship with all those who are around me. And the second quality or virtue is justice. To treat one's clients justly, to treat one's employees justly, to treat one's patrons justly, to treat one's customers justly, to provide quality. The virtue of charity and the virtue of justice are the virtues that allow Jesus to say of Zacchaeus, "This is truly a son of Abraham." So what Jesus does is he rounds out the story, he rounds out the journey, he rounds out the gospel of the outcasts by saying, Zacchaeus, person of privilege, person of position, nevertheless an outcast, one who is shunned, one who is despised. That the love of God and the salvation of God and the goodness of God extends to all persons independent of their social standing. And then we come to the final line of the gospel, and that's the most important line of all. The Son of Man comes to seek and to save what is lost. The scriptures were written by people who understood the scriptures. The New Testament writings were done by people who understood the Old Testament. And when they used words carefully. And when Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost, Jesus is quoting from Ezekiel the prophet. And it's in those words in Ezekiel that God defines himself. And what Jesus is saying is that I am the very presence of the living God. And that the works of God are the works I do. In the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel the prophet, we read, the Lord God says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will seek that which was lost. I will bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which is sick. The description of how God will act, Jesus takes to himself. And that was not lost on his hearers. His hearers were abundantly aware of the prophecies found in Ezekiel and elsewhere. And they knew very well what Jesus was saying, that in him the very power and love of God is found. Well, there is a correlative for the church, for men and women of faith, for a community of faith. You and I are the body of Christ. You and I are the presence of Christ in our space and in our time. That's what the church is. The church is that living body of Christ that continues to do the work and to speak the words that Jesus did. The job of those disciples is to seek out, and to embrace those who are considered lost, those who stand on the margin, those who are voiceless, those who have no standing, those who are disregarded, those who are despised, those against whom the majority will wield its power. The role of the church is to stand with those as Jesus stood. And in so doing, to proclaim the goodness and the salvation of God. No one knows who God is unless a person can see, can experience God. And ever since the decision God made to come among us in human form, ever since the moment of the incarnation, ever since that watershed moment in human history, the way God's face is seen is in the human face of Jesus and in the human faces of Jesus' disciples. That's the ordinary manner in which God is revealed. So Jesus says of himself, "The Son of Man has come to seek out and to save that which is lost." You and I, the church, the body of Christ, must be able to say of ourselves, "We have come, we are here, our purpose is to seek out and to embrace what is regarded as lost." We turn to the Lord God and we pray.
May we follow the example of Zacchaeus and be open to accept responsibility for the wrongs they have done and be ready to make amends for them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are regarded as outcasts, that like Christ, we may have the courage and generosity to befriend them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all who have gone before may live forever in the kingdom of light and peace. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we may learn from the example of Zacchaeus, who after one meeting with Christ, changed his life completely. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for the sick, especially for Vicky Mars. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
This is the first weekend of the month, so the second collection after communion goes to support the work of St. Matthew's School.
Miles.